Greetings to everyone on this rather rainy, as you heard, day we're having this morning. Haven't had any rain all week, but we have rain now. So if you're a person who likes to mess around in the yard like my wife does, very happy about all this rain. So we are certainly grateful for the opportunity to come together and once again study from God's Word. This morning I have hopefully a collection of scriptures that you all will find useful as we seek to live our lives here in 2025. There are many challenges and situations that we face as individuals. We're blessed to live in the United States of America. We're blessed to live in the state of Ohio. We're blessed to live in the city of Cincinnati. There are certain freedoms and opportunities that we have as people in this country that we can do things that other people who don't live here cannot do. There are things that are available to us. There are things that we are permitted to do. But one thing that kind of holds everything together is a sense of order, a sense of organization. Things have to happen a certain way. If we didn't have that, things would fall apart. It's really important to understand that there is a need for things to proceed in a certain way. In many ways, everyone here is subject to those situations or those laws, if you will. Because without those laws, everything would fall apart. I can tell you of one law that every living creature on this planet is subject to. They obey this law whether they want to or not. Many of you can probably guess what that law is. And it is the law of gravity, because without it, we would all fly off into space. But we don't fly off into space because the law of gravity's authority over us holds us down. We cannot violate that law, even if we wanted to, fortunately for us. And there are other laws that are in effect. But as human beings, we have been given the ability to allegedly choose and decide for ourselves. And I say allegedly because sometimes we make decisions that leave you scratching your head as to why you would do that. But it's very important to understand certain concepts. If you're going to live a life that is pleasing to God, if you're going to do what He wants you to do, then wouldn't one think that it's pretty important to know what it is that He wants you to do and how He wants you to do it and what His expectations are for you? And wouldn't you think it's also really important to kind of reflect on the lessons that He already has given us in this Word in case we're somehow confused or we think we have an idea of our own that we don't really need to check and see what God has already said or has already given us an example on how we should do what we do, or how we can choose what we choose. When you think about the concepts that are out there, it's really important to understand them. Now, we know that this year, our theme has been serving our King. So there's two words right there, serve and King, that scream you must submit. If you serve someone, you're doing it for them. If you have a king has the power. Now, according to the dictionary, here's the definitions of these two key concepts. Authority. How is authority defined? Authority is the power or right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. So just think about that for a second. Authority gives the one that has the authority the power to enforce, meaning make it happen, obedience. What's obedience? Glad you asked that question. Obedience. Compliance with an order, request or law, or submission to another's authority. Many would say, if you ask them, what's the first concept? What's the very first concept that God conveyed to man? And if you ask them that question, I would suspect that many of them would say, oh, it's love. the first thing that God conveyed to man is love. Really. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to have several scriptures that hopefully you can just kind of note as we go through this. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." This is right after God created man. The first thing he did was give him a directive. The first thing he did was to give him a command. That's what we see here. He was told to do something. He was told how he should act. God had the authority, has the authority to do that. And we see it right here. Continuing in Genesis, moving on to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and in verses 15 and 16. Genesis 2, 15 and 16. Then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. Tend and keep. Man, you tend, you keep. I'm giving you a directive. I'm giving you a command. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." He gave him a direct command. We see it right there. We also know how this turned out. But what's unfortunate is that man had the opportunity to just do what he was told to do. Why is that so important? Why do we have to do that? Because God said so. You love those commercials where you see the mother. A mother can win any argument with four words. And we all know what those four words are. But just in case you don't, because I said so. Okay? That's it. There is no more dialogue or discussion or back and forth. You have to do what your mother said you have to do because she's your mother and she has the authority to tell you to do that. Now, you could choose to defy your mother. It looks like everybody here didn't make that choice because you're still alive. Okay? But if you don't do what your mother or your father tells you to do, you will suffer the consequences. But how much greater, how much more devastating would be the consequences of not doing what God tells us to do? And yet we see example after example in the scriptures of situations like this. We see example after example of what God expects us to do versus what man does. As Lynn thankfully read for me, and I'll read it again, listen to Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" Now stop right there. Dying to sin. In other words, you were sinning. Stop! Stop doing that. Don't do that anymore. I'm giving you a directive. I'm giving you a command. But continuing. "Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk." Emphasis, command, directive, should walk in newness of life. It should be very clear based on these four scriptures what we're supposed to do. The authority of God telling us the path that we should take, the choices that we should make. Now, whether we do them or not, well, we'll see about that. Continuing in Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 14, listen to this. "Therefore, do not," I can't think of a more powerful directive than that, "do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Again, crystal clear. All you have to do is read it and understand exactly what God's intentions are for you. He doesn't want people confused. He doesn't want people not knowing what they're supposed to do. He has, always has had, and always will have the authority. He has always had, and will always have the power. All we need to do is obey. He's made it really simple for us. Continuing in Romans, starting in verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanliness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, again, not obeying, lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. We can choose. We can choose paths. We can choose the path of obedience, or we can choose the path of lawlessness. Now, lawlessness is often, if not always, rooted in what? Ignorance. You get pulled over in Reading, Ohio, by a police officer. Yes, this has happened to me. Okay. And he says, did you know how fast you were going? I might have been going like, 35, 37 miles an hour. Like, yeah, he's like, well, the speed limit's 25. 25? A bicycle goes 25 miles an hour. Doesn't matter. Ignorance of the law is no excuse for obeying the law. If you don't know the law, that's on you. If you don't know what the Bible teaches, if you don't know what God's requirements are of obedience to his authority, that's on you. And all you have to do is look in the world today and see how people are acting and how they're living. And the decisions and choices that they make are not based on scripture. They're based on what they feel is right, what they want to do. And they'll try and justify it, and they'll try and authorize it, and they'll try and do a whole lot of things that basically make it okay for them to do what they're doing. But it's not okay based on what the Bible teaches. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures here in Proverbs to hopefully hammer that point home. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. Listen to what it says. Now, it's talking about wisdom, but obviously wisdom comes from God. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. The word's right here. We can diligently study it and seek it. And if we do, we can apply it to our lives. Continuing in Proverbs chapter 8, and verse 20, Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 20. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children, For blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Choosing to be ignorant of the word of God, choosing not to study, choosing not to go to church and take advantage of Bible study opportunities, opportunities where classes are taught, choosing not to hear lessons based on scriptural clear principles, choosing to instead just try to figure it out on your own, or it feels right to me, or this feels good, so I'm going to go ahead and do it. We see what the Bible says. You think God created us. He knows who we are, what we're about. He knows where we're going to go. He's given us this guide to protect us from ourselves, to give us a guide on how we should live, on what we should do, on when we're trying to figure out what decision we should make. Oh, I'll go study the Word. I'll see what the Word has to say about the situation. Well, the Word doesn't have anything to say about how I should apply AI as I'm trying to fight off Skynet. Yes, it does. Okay? Because wisdom is wisdom. Good decisions are good decisions if they're based on book, chapter, and verse. That's why they're there. For our own study, for our own edification, all we have to do is look at them and see what they say. And again, you know, we talk about wisdom. We know that the book of Proverbs is often referred to as that. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So if I'm doing what God says, I'm not going to be doing evil. And if I don't do what God says, then I am going to be doing evil. Even a six-year-old can figure that out. But what choices are we making? What decisions are we making? Are we listening to what God says? What does he say? Interesting you would say that. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. What better counsel exists than the word of God? And just in case someone, you know, that one didn't take, you go to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Now, don't you think when Satan told Eve that she should take that fruit that it seemed right to her at the time? How did that work out? And how many times did Samson, who was an incredibly selfish person, do what seemed right to him at the time? And how did that turn out? And on you can go with example after example of individuals. Rehoboam. Really? Okay, and, you know, choosing to do what the young man said instead of the wise counselors who had worked with his father Solomon. How did that turn out? Again and again and again, we see examples of wise choices and their consequences and unwise choices and their consequences. Does God want what's best for us? Does God want what's right for us? Of course he does. But does he require us to submit to his authority? He does. The choice is ours. We can choose to our own detriment not to listen to what he tells us to do. God gives us families. Often, not always, sometimes things happen, but often we're blessed with a family structure that allows us to have parents that can raise us in the time that we're little. And they can provide us with guidance and with knowledge and with wisdom and with protection. But as soon as we're kind of old enough to maybe believe that we can think for ourselves, we may start pushing back. Now, we may be very compliant and listen to our parents at all times and never give them any back talk. Or we might go in another direction. What does the Bible say about that? Proverbs chapter 15, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 5. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. Now, right now, all parents of young children should be cheering for that one, okay? But it's true. Parents are responsible for their children. Children are not responsible for their parents. Gee, I wonder why. Because parents have that ownership of them, and they are charged with that. Are they going to do the right thing 100% of the time? They're people. But are they seeking to do what's best for their child? Does the Bible teach that fathers are supposed to lead and provide guidance? We just saw what it said there. Okay? You should listen. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 12. A scoffer does not love one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise. Oh, I don't need to listen to you. I'll figure this out for myself. Okay. That certainly sounds like Rehoboam and many, many others who would not listen to wise advice or wise experience and instead did what they wanted to do. And we often see how that turns out. Proverbs chapter 15, Proverbs chapter 15, 32 and 33. Proverbs 15, 32 and 33. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul. But he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. Rebuke, obviously, is being told what you were going to do isn't what you should do. You rebuke them, say, no, don't do that. You think about how people react when they're told what to do. You know, it's just like fingers on a chalkboard. I want to do what I want to do. It's understandable. But we as human beings, we're not wild animals. We have the ability to reason and control our thoughts. We have the ability to make ourselves do what we should do, even if it's against what we want to do. We have the ability to make ourselves to do what we should do, even if it's not what we want to do. But so often in the world just goes with what it wants, and it doesn't pay attention to anything else. It just listens to itself instead of listening to God. The consequences of that are pretty clear. God knows what we're thinking. Just in case you didn't believe that, Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2. Proverbs 21, verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. God knows what we're thinking. You got to remember that. It's so easy to think if you're out here in the world that, well, nobody knows what's going on in my head. No human does, but God does. He knows what your motivation is. He knows what your belief is. He knows how you came to that decision, and then he sees it play out. Have we submitted ourselves to his authority? Have we turned ourselves over to his word as we live our lives? Or, as we saw time and time again there in Proverbs and others, have we turned to our own understanding? Have we turned to our own desires? Have we turned to what we want to do? The power of individual want is undeniable, but the strength of the Bible is greater than the power of our desire if we will tie into it, if we will submit to it, if we will listen. If we don't study it, if we don't know it, like the world doesn't, then we see how things work out. If we don't submit to authority, if we just do our own thing, then we'll suffer the consequences, sometimes right away, sometimes in 10 minutes, sometimes in 10 years. But no one's going to escape God's judgment. And if you don't do what you're supposed to do, no one's going to escape God's wrath. Don't bring God's wrath down upon yourself just because you decided to do what you wanted to do because it felt good, seemed good, you thought it was the right thing, da, 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 da. Don't do it. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I'm sorry, the Gospel of John. John chapter 14, verse 15. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. 1, 2, 3, 4. 7 words. 7. If you love me, keep my commandments. I love God. Do you do what he told you? I love my dad. Do you do what he told you? I love my mom. Do you do what she told you? If you don't, then you're not showing them the love that they're showing you. If you don't keep God's commandments, then you may say you love him, but you don't. That's what the Bible just said in John 14, 15. Seven words. If you love me, keep my commandments. Very simple, very clear. What are his commandments? Read the Bible and you'll know what they are. If you don't read it, then you won't know. If you stay in John and go to John 21 and verses 23 and 24. I'm staying in John 14. I got ahead of myself. We old people can't write. John 14. So verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. This is John chapter 14, verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself in him. And then jumping to verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, talking to Judas, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. Incredibly powerful and incredible clarity. There can be no mistaking what God is telling us. The question is, do we even know? Are we listening? Are we seeking to do what he wants us to do? Or are we letting outside influences and situations and circumstances and scenarios cause us to do something and, well, this will work out, this will be okay? Is it aligned with what God said? People sometimes hate yes or no. But that's where we need to go when it comes to God. Either you're doing what he's told you or you're not. If you're doing what he told you, then you're where you need to be. If you haven't checked with him, if you haven't consulted with him, if you haven't prayed to him, if you haven't sought to submit to his authority, then the consequences of that will come. Understand that. Last scripture I want to touch on is in 1 John. 1 John, so this isn't the Gospel of John, it's 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And it's just verses 2 and 3. 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. It's not burdensome. Now, you may find it challenging, or you may find that you have to do some work. But really, at the end of the day, what's important? This life, we were born sometime within the last, 80 or 90 years, and we're still here. But we won't always be here. 350 years from now, nobody in this room will be here. The world may still exist 350 years from now. 3,500 years from now, or even longer. Only God knows when the world will end. But our lives, the clock is ticking. What will our eternal fate be after we physically die? If we have submitted to God's authority and we have obeyed him, the answer is clear. But it's just as clear if we don't. If we haven't listened, and if we haven't obeyed, then we will be lost forever. A concept that's difficult to grasp, but very true. We cannot let that happen to ourselves, and we need to do the best that we can to try and help everybody else out there in the world who is either willfully or ignorantly not submitting to God's authority and not obeying him. In order to obey, first we have to hear the word. We have to hear the word preached, we have to believe it, and then we have to repent. And then once we've done those three things, then we need to be baptized for the remission of our sins that we've committed because we didn't submit to his authority. And we have a baptistry. We can do that in case someone is here this morning and needs to do that. You need to hear it. You need to believe it. You need to repent. You need to be baptized. And then after that, you need to continually and consistently and persistently for the rest of your life obey. Because by doing that, you'll be pleasing to God. And who wouldn't want to do that, you would think?
But for those who find it a challenge, we have the brothers and sisters here at Mill Road. We have fellow Christians around the world who are seeking to do what's right. Let's be part of the individuals that are seeking to do what's right. On an individual basis, one person at a time, do what God tells you to do. Shine forth as an individual light in the world, helping everyone else understand that when their life ends, they'll be standing in judgment. And they'll be judged based on what's in the book, the Bible. Did they do it or not? It's really just going to be that simple. Make the right decision. Make the right choice. Whatever your needs might be, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.